Good afternoon, ladies and gents. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. I tell you, there was plenty of sporting action taking place over the weekend, especially in the world of football. Yes, MSU in South Florida, Michigan, Notre Dame, and the opening Sunday in the world of the NFL. Yes, we will get to all of it and discuss the Spartans' offensive struggles yet again, along with so much more. I want to remind you all, we'll be taking your calls throughout the entire show, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. What are your thoughts on the MSU offense? Who will the starting QB eventually end up being? And should D'Antonio burn the red shirt of Damian Terry? Give us a call again, 517-355-9527. Current Sports starts right now.
Second and long, Ebell. Pressured, hit hard, and the ball's picked off. Another one for Calhoun. Shalique Calhoun has plenty of room in a convoy. His second score of the day.
And this one third and eight. And that is Reggie Bush out of the backfield, and Reggie Bush with a man to beat. That is a touchdown, Reggie Bush.
Play action from the pocket. Downfield, strike wide open against the zone defense. Gallen breaks a tackle, comes free, heads in zone, forget about it.
Number five.
Yes! I would sit right in the middle of your section and have a hell of a time.
Yes, tons of action over the weekend. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all, you can weigh in, let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We always want to know what's on your mind. Of course, you can give us a call right here at the studio, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Pick up that phone. Give us your thoughts on any of the weekend action in the world of sports. Specifically, we're going to be talking a lot about MSU football. They are constantly struggling on that offensive end. The defense looks great, I tell you that. But their offensive struggles continue as they still try to search for who is that man behind center. So, again, we want to know how you guys have been enjoying the show so far as well. I encourage all of the dedicated listeners out there to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and post some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. Email me at AlMartin@wkar.org, or give us a call at any time throughout this entire show, 517-355-9527. So we're shaking things up here on Current Sports. We're going to dive right into our Current Sports. Just quick headliners of just because of the entire weekend action in the world of sports. The Lions and Vikings. Reggie Bush, man, he was sensational. He had a sensational debut with the Detroit Lions on Sunday, burning Minnesota for 191 yards on offense in a 34-24 victory. He was spectacular. He finished with 21 carries for 90 yards and 4 receptions for 101 through the air. Now, Bush's performance helped the Lions overcome miscues while stopping an 8-game losing streak from last season, a miserable 4-12 year in which they were winless against NFC North teams. Now, Adrian Peterson, he did his part early, running for a 78-yard touchdown. I mean, on his first carry of the game, And he also scored on a 4-yard run to give Minnesota a 14-6 lead in the second quarter. He finished with just, though, 93 yards on 18 attempts. So even though AP did his thing on that first drive, he looked good early, the Lions defense did one heck of a job on Adrian Peterson throughout the entire game. Matthew Stafford for the Lions, he was 28 of 43 for 357 yards with two touchdowns. Now, his final score was a 1-yard lob to rookie tight end Joseph Faria with a with 6:47 left that sealed the win. Joseph Faria, he looks to be a really a shining light for the Lions. They just picked him up. He's a rookie that looks really, really good. Now, Calvin Johnson, Megatron, he was held to just 4 catches for 37 yards and had a touchdown negated by review because he appeared to lose control of the football in the end zone. It's the whole process rule that they have in the NFL. And, you know, when I looked at that catch, I kind of had a flashback to that whole Chicago Bears game, I tell you that. So, anyway, Christian Ponder for the Vikings, he was 18 for 28 with 236 yards with a 4-yard touchdown pass to AP that got Minnesota within 3 late in the third quarter. Now, the Lions finished strong, outscoring the Vikings 28-10 after an awful start. The Lions have Arizona coming up this Sunday. Now, and also it made headlines, it's really taken over headlines today in the world of the NFL and, of course, with the Lions, are Dominican Sue. And Dominican Sue, the Detroit Lions defensive tackle, he's facing discipline from the NFL for driving at the knees of an opposing player during Sunday's game against the Vikings. Now, the controversial play occurred during an interception return by Lions linebacker DeAndre Levy, who scored an apparent touchdown to give Detroit the lead, but the play was nullified because Sue was whistled for an illegal low blow block against Viking center John Sullivan. Now, Sue's block drew a 15-yard penalty and the attention of the league office. The two-time Pro Bowler said, however, that he was not attempting to injure Sullivan, saying, quote, "I wasn't by any means going for the knees." The low block was not the first time the 26-year-old Sue has been questioned for a controversial penalty. He was suspended 2 games in 2011 for stomping on the arm of Green Bay Packers offensive lineman Evan Dietrich Smith during a Thanksgiving Day game. And Sue also made headlines in last year's Thanksgiving game when he kicked Houston Texans quarterback Matt Schaub in the groin, drawing a fine from the NFL. All right, roundup of the NFL scores from yesterday really quickly. Broncos topped the Ravens 49-27. Patriots beat the Bills 23-21. Dolphins edge out the Browns 23-10. Bengals and Bears, the Bears get that one 24-21. Seahawks topped the Panthers 12-7. Raiders and Colts, Andrew Luck had a great day, 21-17 over the Raiders. Terrell Pryor also looked good in that one. Chiefs over Jaguars 28-2. Yes, 28-2. I did not hesitate. Jaguars. All right. Saints and Falcons, 23-17. Saints, Jets, and Buccaneers, 18-17. Close one there for the Jets. Jets pull out that one. Titans edge the Steelers, 16-9. The Steelers also look just, yeah, bad. Rams and Cardinals. Rams topped the Cardinals 27-24. 49ers beat the Packers 34-28. And the Cowboys, how about them Cowboys, huh? 36-31 over the New York Giants. All right, Tigers. The Tigers, let's just dig right into it. Bruce Chinn, he picked up 7 solid innings against the Detroit Tigers Sunday in a 5-2 win for the Kansas City Royals. Now, Sunday's win was the second for the Royals in a 3-game weekend series, so they beat Detroit in that weekend series 2-1. Now, in the first game on Friday, the Tigers ransacked the Royals in a 16-2 blowout, not even close, in a 26 hits on the night. On Saturday, the Tigers lost 3-4, evening up the series 1-1. Chinn, who moved into the rotation on July 12th after 19 relief appearances, limited the Tigers to just 5 hits and 2 runs. Now, Eric Hosmer had 3 hits, including a 3-run homer in the 5th inning. Hosmer homered off Doug Fister after Alex Gordon and Emilio Bonifacio singled with 2 outs. Fister allowed 5 runs on 8 hits in 6 1/3 innings. And Jose Iglesias, who had not played since leaving the game Wednesday with shin splints last week, homered in the 3rd inning after Alex Avila had singled, giving the Tigers a 2-0 lead. Fielder played his 486th consecutive game, the longest active streak in the majors. After the game, Jim Leland also said that outfielder Nick Castellanos would start again Monday after making his first major league start Saturday. He says, quote, he's got a feeling for hitting. Leland said, he's a confident kid. In the batter's box, he looks natural in the batter's box. All right, Serena Williams, she was spectacular. Number one seed, Serena Williams, overcame number two, Victoria Azarenka, 7-5, 6-7, 6-1 on Sunday for her 17th Grand Slam championship. She is certainly remarkable, to say the least, folks. Williams has won twice in a row at Flushing Meadows, beating Azarenka in three sets each time, and four in the past six major tournaments overall. Her 17 titles are the six most in history for a woman, only behind Martina Navratilova and Chris Evert, and the same total as the men's record holder, Roger Federer. Now, Williams is 67-4 with a career-high nine titles in 2013, but two of those losses came against Azarenka. Now, a year ago, they played the first three-set women's final in New York since 1995. This time, they went on to a total of 2 hours and 45 minutes because Azarenka was tough in the tiebreaker. Now, Williams became the first woman to surpass $9 million in prize money in a single season while topping $50 million for her career. That's a lot of moolah, folks. All right, wrestling. Wrestling returns to the Olympics 7 months after losing its Olympic place. Wrestling has reinstated, was reinstated for the 2020 Games on Sunday when the IOC overturned a decision many members thought was a mistake. Now, the sport, which has ancient roots in the Olympics, defeated bids from baseball, softball, and squash. It will now join the program of the 2020 Games, which are awarded to Tokyo on Saturday. Now, wrestling, which was surprisingly dropped from the list of core sports in February, received 49 votes to win in the first round of secret balloting in the International Olympic Committee. Baseball and softball got 24 votes and squash with 22. Now, the decision capped off a frantic six-month campaigning by the wrestling body, FILA, to revamp the organization and reshape the sport to save its Olympic status. So that's your current sports headlines for the weekend. Let's dive into MSU football. Yes, it was not pretty, folks. However, MSU did win the game. They topped South Florida on Saturday 21-6. But, folks, I tell you what, the offensive struggles continue. You saw three quarterbacks, Andrew Maxwell, Connor Cook, and Tyler O'Connor. They all had there's some moments behind center during that entire game. Michigan State still trying to find who's going to be that man. And I tell you what, watching MSU's offense is, it's a snoozer, to say the least. It's a snoozer. It's awful. Right now, they cannot generate offense. In the past two games that they played so far this season, they have yet to eclipse the 100-yard mark. That's frustration, I tell you that. But the defense has been solid. Defense played great. And I tell you what, MSU's defense has been outscoring the offense. Right now, with the six touchdowns that have been accounted for out of the past two games that MSU have played in, four of those come from MSU's defense, while just two come from MSU's offense. That is certainly unheard of. It's really remarkable, to say the least. And, man, Mark D'Antonio, he had an interesting press conference after that game and was asked if he was concerned at all about the state of his team.
Well, of course I'm concerned. Yeah. How? On a scale of 1 to 10? You know, if you were the head coach, I'd say it's about a 8. Is that good enough? You know, put Andrew Maxwell back in at the beginning of the second half. I think he deserved that opportunity. When we didn't get a touchdown in the second half, in the third quarter, we went back to Maxwell and we got one. So we'll evaluate everybody's play, what they bring. But the bottom line is we won the football game. The second bottom line is whoever is in positions of leadership running that football team has to generate the throw and the catch. We've got to have more passing game than we're having right now, and that's pretty simple. I don't think you have to be an expert to dissect that. You have to respect that, and you respect that as a coach, and that's why I went back with him in the second half, because I feel like I owe him that. I owe him that as a man and a coach to him, and I wouldn't do it any other way. And if he moved the football, then it would be his. So trying to be very diplomatic about this and give everybody opportunities, but it's in their hands. It's in our offensive coach's hands. It's in my hands. But let's talk about the defense. Okay? Last question. Got to be a defensive question. Got to be a defensive question. But we can formulate it to it being a defensive question. Go ahead. You ask it. I'll answer it. It's amazing when you're up at the podium and you get to answer these kind of questions. So my answer to that question is going to be, did you see Shalique Calhoun run those two things back? Did you see our sacks? I mean, we played outstanding in the secondary. Great play calls by Narduzzi. We had great pressure throughout the entire day. Negated their passing game. Negated their running game to a most part. They hit some sprint draws on us. We've got to fix that up a little bit. But we played outstanding. And the bottom line at the end of the day is we're 2-0. And I can appreciate that. It's very tough to win. If you flip things around and you look at the scoreboards across the country, it's tough to win. Some people can get off and run away with it, but it's tough all over. There's a lot of parity. You know, credit South Florida. You know, they came with something to prove, too. The longer you let people hang around the game, the stronger they get. And I could come in here and be politically correct, or I could just tell you as it is. I think more people would rather hear me tell it as it is. So, you know, we need to generate points. We have opportunities. We're trying to work it. We beat ourselves a couple times. You know, we should have scored on the drive. We got down on the 3 or 4 yard line, and, you know, we've got to get the ball and get it up inside on the option, not on the outside. I don't know whether it's called wrong. I'm not sure what was happening there. But, you know, we should score or get it inside there and have an opportunity to go for it. It is what it is. You know, win is important. We're 2-0. This is a family. So you don't see any bickering. We've got great chemistry. We don't pit the offense versus the defense and the quarterbacks against the quarterbacks. I think people are pretty selfless in the way they approach things. And just like any family, when one part of that family is struggling, that other aspect of that family is going to come to their support. So we'll line up next week against Youngstown State, try and get it squared away and move it from there.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, the defensive family has certainly been holding the load when it comes to this MSU football team. And I tell you what, D'Antonio said he's going to tell it like it is. But I tell you what, that was a pretty politically correct press conference on the aspect of the MSU quarterback situation. I tell you that. Any question that was fired at Mark D'Antonio during that press conference about the quarterbacks was answered with, well, we have to look at the film. Let's be patient here. We're just trying to see what works. Tyler O'Connor, he was one of those quarterbacks who you saw behind center for the MSU football team against South Florida. Here was Tyler on his play on Saturday.
I felt very comfortable throughout the week, pretty much, you know, split reps with the other quarterbacks. You know, it's hard to prepare three quarterbacks, you know, for a game. You know, there's only so many reps that can go around, so it's tough. But we all got our reps, and I felt very comfortable, and, you know, we did well in practice. So I thought, I'd give the coaches reason to put me in and give me a chance, you know, and that's what happened. You know, it was nice. It was looking around and taking a deep breath and, you know, getting those jitters out of the way and, you know, looking across and seeing a different defense for the first time in, you know, over a year. It was a little surreal and everything. But, you know, after that first play, all, you know, everyone in the stands goes away and it's just you and the defense.
Where do you think this goes from here,
Tyler? You know, that's tough to say right now. It's the coach's decision. You know, I think they really have confidence in all three quarterbacks that have performed so far. And, you know, we'll see what they do. But, you know, in the end, you know, we're all looking for the same goal. We need to go score and we need to make plays. You know, we're all going to do our best to do that. I'm very confident myself. I told Coach D that, you know, my confidence is as high as it's ever been here. But, you know, not only that, today that I didn't show that. I didn't show what I need to show to move the ball. You know, to get the team to win a championship. So I watched the film, and like I said, getting that first experience is great. And then, you know, we'll improve from here, and then we'll see where we go.
So, yeah, that was redshirt freshman Tyler O'Connor. He saw some action behind center. So did senior Andrew Maxwell and sophomore Connor Cook. Connor Cook actually started the game. If you want to get a list of the numbers here, Connor Cook went 6-for-11 for 32 yards, one sack. His longest play was down the field of 20 yards. Andrew Maxwell went 4-of-9 for a total of 40 yards. His longest play was 18 yards. And Tyler O'Connor, who you just heard from, was 2-of-4 for 22 yards. All right, now, you know, when you look at this MSU offense, many of you out there will either place blame on either one, the receivers, two, the quarterbacks, or three, the offensive coordinators. Well, I'll tell you what, MSU offensive coordinator Dave Warner, he took the podium yesterday to address the frustrations with that MSU offense.
The pass game continues to be a big concern. We did have a couple throws down the field that I think we need to continue to push the ball downfield. I think we dialed up some of those plays more this week than we had in the past. We just got to make them successful. But we're going to keep pushing forward and get things going in the right direction. No two ways about it, but the bottom line with those guys, and I think I said it last week, is going to be who puts us in the end zone. We had a field goal opportunity that was missed. I mean, we can't settle for field goals when we're first and goal. We can't settle for field goals. We went through it last year. And emphasis was made throughout the last 7 months, and we didn't get it done today as far as scoring in the red zone in that situation. Damian Terry, he is always in the discussion. Andrew had some opportunities to try and get us in the end zone, and it didn't happen. So we said, well, let's make a change. We're trying to find a spark. And again, it's not all in those quarterbacks, but it's still at the same time. I mean, those guys got to get us in the end zone somehow, some way. So we're going to keep juggling until we find the right one. So there's frustration there, but at the same time, we're going to get it taken care of because our defense is playing so stinking good that we've got to find a way to help them along.
And speaking of that MSU defense, which has accounted for a total of 4 touchdowns, outscoring MSU's offense that has only accounted for just 2 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns compared to 4 touchdowns. We talk about the defense and offense. Yes, the defense is outscoring the offense. Can you believe that, guys? I cannot believe that. That blows my mind every time I read that statistic. I tell you what, Shalik Calhoun. If you don't know who Shalik Calhoun is, you're going to hear his name a lot today and this throughout this entire week. He's a sophomore defensive end for Michigan State who has accounted for 3 touchdowns so far this season for the MSU football team. Yes, 3. And I just said that MSU's offense only has 2. One man, Shalik Calhoun, who is a defensive end on MSU's defense, has more touchdowns than the MSU offense. I did not stutter. I cannot make this stuff up. Shalik had 2 touchdowns on Saturday. Man, he's been unbelievable. Defensive coordinator Pat Narduzzi, he spoke to the media yesterday along with Shalik, and he was asked whether or not the defense feels any pressure each and every time they take the field due to the fact that the offense can't score.
Our guys don't, our guys don't even think about it. They're so locked in. Hopefully they got blinders on, Max, right? Hopefully they got blinders on, and I know Max is sitting over there. Our guys don't care. Just go out and play defense. Our job is to stop them. We don't worry about that stuff. We try to stay locked into what our job is. If we start worrying about other things, we'll have problems. And we did a great job last year doing that, and we'll continue to do it. Overall, good performance. You know, he scored twice on defense. Got to be happy there again. Shalik, he's our running back on defense, I guess. Just hand it off to him, let him go. But he's a great player. We knew he was a great player. And there's a difference between having a guy that, makes plays in practice, but a guy that makes the play in the game and catches it and finishes it. So it's good to see.
I mean, through camp, we discuss, being able to score on defense. You know, even if our offense is good, even if they're doing great, we still wanted to, make that another aspect to our game is to be able to score on defense, be able to create touchdowns. So, I mean, we were very excited for the challenge. I mean, we were looking forward to it. And to see it all play out, after all that practice, it's mind-blowing. And it's great. It's a great feeling, definitely. And then for it to happen, a couple touchdowns for it to happen to me, I'm so thankful, to the Lord for, providing this to me.
Yeah, so that was Shalik Calhoun, who has been just unbelievably remarkable for this MSU defense. And that was Narduzzi addressing whether or not the defense feels any added pressure due to the fact that the offense can't find the end zone. Oh, I tell you what, we still have a lot to talk about when it comes to this MSU football team. What do you think? That's the question I'm posing out to all of you listening out there right now. What is the problem with this MSU offense? What is your opinion of the whole quarterback controversy when you talk about Connor Cook, Andrew Maxwell, and Tyler O'Connor? Should D'Antonio burn the red shirt and put in Damian Terry? What do you think? Because right now, this MSU offense couldn't score on my grandma. It's bad. It's really, really bad. And I want to get your opinion on what should be done to solve this problem, to solve this controversy, because it's unlike anything I've seen since covering MSU football, and it's of immense discussion, to say the least. So again, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Don't be shy. Pick up that phone. Dial that number and let us hear your thoughts on this just topic that's just been really lingering over this MSU football team week after week. 517-355-9527. Give us a call. A lot more to talk about coming up. I'm going to invite Alex Shari, and we're going to try to dissect this whole thing that's going on with this football team. Stick around. More Current Sports is coming right up.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Next time on Here and Now, Congress returns from its summer break. Will other lawmakers join Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who voted against military intervention in Syria?
How confident are you that we can, in fact, put in place a military plan that's limited in scope and duration that can effectively degrade Assad's capability to carry out future chemical attacks?
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, as always, Al Martin. We are dissecting the MSU South Florida game that took place this past Saturday, resulting in a 21-6 Spartan win. But the talk of the town has been that MSU offense, which has failed on numerous occasions to put points on the board. The defense has actually been outscoring the MSU offense. It's been just really frustrating to watch, to say the least, if you're a Spartan fan out there. Again, we encourage you to voice your opinion on what you think is wrong. Who do you think should be behind center for the MSU football team? Should D'Antonio just burn that red shirt of Damian Terry's and give the kid a shot? What do you think should be done? What is your opinion of this team? And I tell you what, I guess it kind of works in their favor that they have a lollipop schedule this year. It's not really tough, to say the least. And, you know, that's definitely working to their favor. I'm also joined by Alex Sharg right now. I believe we have a call before we start to dissect things. Austin from Lansing, welcome to Current Sports, Austin.
Hey, Al, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. Enjoying the show as usual.
Definitely.
Well, this is my opinion on everything. I look at this problem from three ways. First, just listening to Coach D'Antonio in that interview, I feel like he really needs to address this issue and allow the media questions, because everybody knows the defense. And don't just negate the fact that people want to ask questions about the offense and all that good stuff. We know the defense is going to do what they do. Mm-hmm. Second problem is, I looked at the offensive coordinator and I asked myself, does he have confidence in our quarterbacks with his play calling? I mean, his play calling is so conservative, and the only way for the quarterbacks to truly get that confidence is if they run those plays that will allow them to make those mistakes and say, okay, I see what I did wrong. This is what I need to fix. I mean, on third and like eight, stop running 5-yard plays and running out routes. Let's throw the ball down the field
right,
to see the relationship between our quarterback and receiver, to show the off-the-field things we need to work on. And the third thing, man, I just think our quarterbacks, I don't see a leader. Of all three quarterbacks that we put on the field, I don't see a leader on the field. I mean, if you look in the past, look at Kirk Cousins. The guy was a leader. I mean, he was vocal. He was in everybody's face. He made a mistake. He got his head down for a second, but then he realized, you know what? I'm the leader. I'm the captain on this team. This team is depending on me. The offense is depending on me, and I need to get it together. We just need one player on the, either one player on a couple players or a couple players on the offense that's not scared to get in each other's face and grill each other. Because if you look at the defense, that's what they do. Right. If one DB drops the interception or misses the route, you will see Denard or Lewis or somebody in their face saying, get on your job, get it together. We need coaches on and off the field.
Right. Austin, you bring forth some great points. Austin, my man, thanks a lot for the call.
Hey, no problem, Al. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, all right. Yes, well, I'll tell you what, Alex, he brings up some very valid points, and I have to agree with everything he just said, to be honest with you. I think this offense is lacking a leader, and I'll tell you what, when you talk about the quarterback position is the premier position in football. It's the most important position in football. You look at the QB to be that leader, he's the face of the team, he's your rallying guy. Right now, with MSU playing three quarterbacks, These past few games, they don't have a leader, to be honest with you. They don't have a guy who's behind center that they can look at, who has the ball, who's carrying the ball 80-90% of the time, that's saying, hey guys, rally behind me. I'm gonna get the job done. And that's a big question mark. I think he brings up a very good point there. And the play calling too. That's something I want to get to later on in the show. But just to address it really quickly now. The play calling, it frustrates me because looking at that game against South Florida, there were many third downs, third and fives or sixes, where you gotta throw the ball or give your receivers a chance past the sticks to get a first down, and it didn't happen. I'm seeing flat routes. I'm seeing runs on some of those plays. You're not going to get a first down play calling like that. And that's so frustrating. I could go on and on, but what are your thoughts on that really quick, Alex?
It's evident now. First off, this game was not Michigan State versus South Florida. This game was Shalique Calhoun versus South Florida, first of all.
I'm telling you, man.
Second of all, everything what you said, what our caller Austin said, is definitely correct. But the one thing I would say is I get more confused every single week from D'Antonio. I'm looking at his post-game quotes outside of the ones that we've played. And one to start is he's saying that With the fact that, hey, we took Tyler O'Connor out, well, he almost threw a pick in the end zone. That's why we took him out. He almost threw a pick, D'Antonio, but he didn't throw a pick. He almost did, but a pick is a pick, and it wasn't a pick.
Yeah, it was a risky throw.
But he still played well. He didn't make a turnover.
Out of all three quarterbacks, and I must say this, out of all three quarterbacks, looking at what they did, I ran their numbers earlier in the show. But looking at it, you know, not from a stats perspective, just looking at what they did and what I saw. I was looking really intently at all three of them. Connor Cook, he's mobile, but not that accurate. Maxwell, not mobile whatsoever, afraid to take chances down the field. These are my notes as I'm writing, you know, during the game. I'm taking these notes now. Afraid to take chances down the field and is inconsistent with his accuracy. Tyler O'Connor, he led the team, I believe, to their only offensive touchdown with the handoff to Jeremy Langford. And he really looked to be – he's mobile. And I think he, out of all three of them, he's the more accurate quarterback. So, if anybody, I really think that Tyler O'Connor, if you're looking at this battle right now, he's leading the battle. I don't know. But we also have Mark. Mark from East Lansing. Mark, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, Al. How you doing? I think your last caller made some good points. I think you make some good points, too, about – O'Connor there. Here's my take. If you look at this team from last year, that was a one offense, and his name was Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
And he got them to 6-6. He's gone, and their offensive line, it wasn't good last year. It's not good this year. It hasn't been good. And they have no running back now, we don't think. At least we haven't seen any really yet. So, unfortunately, I don't think it's all the quarterback's fault, but they need a dynamic leader. They don't have one yet. I would, as far as Terry, I think he can play one, if not two, games before he would lose the red shirt, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not 100% sure, but I think they could play him against Youngstown and maybe even Notre Dame and still keep him still redshirt him, I believe. I guess you'd have to check that out. What I would do, I would play O'Connor to start the game next week, play him for a half. If he's doing really well, I might leave him in, and then bring in Terry at some point just to see what he looks like, to see how he responds, and then make a decision. You know, because we know that Maxwell is a great kid, but he's all those things that you said and the prior caller said. He's an average Big Ten quarterback at best. Connor Cook, I don't think we know enough about yet. I haven't seen enough, but I think I've seen enough to say that I'm willing to look at the other two because this team will be a 6-6 team again unless they get something with the quarterback. So thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark. And I think Mark brings up some very, very interesting points as well. I'm not sure, Al, do you know if you – I think if Terry does play, I think that voids his red shirt, right?
I don't know the exact ruling on it.
Because I'm looking now,
yeah.
And it says in a red shirt year, a student-athlete may attend classes or at a college university, practice with an athletic team, and dress for play, but he or she may not compete during the game, or it becomes void. I don't know. Maybe we just double-check on that. I don't know.
We'll look at it later in the broadcast, but I think, yes, I think if he plays before the 3 or 4 game mark, that does burn it. So, and back to our last caller, yeah, he's saying start O'Connor and then maybe put in Terry and we'll see what happens. But let me also point this out. Last week, Al, we talked about on this show how D'Antonio won't put in a third quarterback unless we're up big. Do you remember that?
Right.
Do you remember that?
I do remember. Yeah, I remember. You love that quote. Yeah.
I love that quote. Now, this week, we see him put three quarterbacks in. So he either could have been listening to what we said or...
That quote just totally went out the window.
Right. Well, let me just say this. D'Antonio, after this game, said, we put Maxwell back in because we thought he could move the ball. He gave us the best chance to move the ball. If you put him back in because you thought he gave the best chance, then why didn't you play him in the first half to start if he is the best at moving the ball?
Yeah.
Now it's totally contradictory of what he said last week.
So I tell you what... Looking at these three quarterbacks, you think O'Connor's the guy?
I think a freshman is the guy. Any freshman.
So Terry or O'Connor is the guy.
Yes.
I think, you know, right now, from what I saw on Saturday, from those three quarterbacks, none of them played great. None of them played awesome. No one turned my head at all. I mean, it was dreadful to watch that MSU offense play. And, you know, I'm looking at this and saying, why not give Terry a shot? Why not? You know, he can't be worse than these three guys you just put in. I mean, if anything, these guys, I mean, they just managed the game. There were really no big gains down the field. I mean, it was a lot of three and outs. Give Terry a shot. Why not?
Well, we got to make sure he doesn't have mono first. We have to check the mono.
Because D'Antonio did say during the press conference, he's got, you know, mono and some other things. But put him out there. Give him a shot, I think. All right, right now we have Jack from Hazlitt on line one. Jack, welcome to Current Sports.
Hi, and congratulations on Current Sports. It sounds like you're doing a heck of a good job the times that I've listened to you.
Thanks a lot, Jack. Thank you.
I wish you well, and I hope you're successful with the show as well. You should be.
Really appreciate it, man.
You know, I tell you what, I'm just one of probably many callers that you and other programs are going to get, and at this point, it's a kind of a little like piling on, you know. I keep trying to think of something I could call and just offer something positive about the offense, and I honestly, I can't come up with anything.
Not one thing.
and I think that in itself is kind of maybe a key to the problem overall. I just don't think the offense is very good, and I don't think it's, you know, with all due respect to the three quarterbacks, I don't think it really matters a whole lot who you put in there at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They've just got so many holes that need filling, I don't even know where to start. That offensive line, if you look at the background of the schools that they played, what they've done with their other two, their other opponents, and even the one that they played and has had a second opponent now, it makes no sense. I mean, other schools have scored on them, and their defense is all over us. It tore us all over the place. And then I heard another fellow this morning on another show that made a good comment, and that simply was he was at the game, and he said it was far more difficult to watch, and you know this because you were there, at the game than it was to watch on television, because at the game you could see on all these plays that there was no separation between the receivers.
None. None whatsoever, Jack. Like I said, it's frustrating to watch because, you know, you look at the Kirk Cousins days and you're like, okay, you know, and now you look now where they're playing three quarterbacks, the second game of the season, you're sitting there just shaking your head. It's dreadful to watch, Jack.
Yeah, I feel your pain. I just don't even know where to go from here. I mean, it showed up so many deficiencies. I almost feel sorry for D'Antonio at this point.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, Jack, hey, I really appreciate you calling the encouragement. We'll be in touch, man. Thanks a lot for calling.
Good show, good show.
Thank you, thank you.
Al, now I'm wondering, do you think Michigan State should look into the Wildcat?
Man, they
we're
need,
playing
they need
three
anything.
Quarterbacks.
They need anything.
Is this a Wildcat team?
They need anything right now, man. But I tell you what, I think, Alex, brother, you owe me Chipotle.
Yeah, I do. I do.
You
sure do.
You said Andrew Maxwell would be the quarterback.
I thought he would start.
You thought he was going to start?
Mark D'Antonio is saying that he should start. He said he's the best ball mover down the field.
Words can be deceiving, brother. But, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Again, we want to get your thoughts on the MSU football team. Should Damian Terry get a chance? Should D'Antonio throw Damian Terry in there and see what he's got? Who do you think is the quarterback for MSU, and what are your thoughts on this team so far? 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We're going to take your calls throughout the entire show. Stick around. Lots more to talk about. Lots more to discuss. Pick up the phone, 517-355-9527. More current sports is coming right back.
On the next Fresh Air, Jonathan Lethem. His new novel, Dissident Gardens, follows three generations of a radical leftist family, somewhat like his own. He grew up in a quasi-commune, where at meetings,
grown adults would air out their grievances to 8-year-old children as if we were all equally entitled to suffer one another's complaints. And, you know, I kind of loved it.
Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. We are talking about the MSU South Florida game that resulted in a 21-6 Spartan win. But I tell you what, Alex, that win more so felt like a loss in my eyes. I tell you what, these past two games have felt like losses more than wins.
Yeah, and back not really to the quarterbacks for a second, but I want to talk about a play in this game that was a little doubtful that I want to get your opinion, Al.
What's that?
If you remember, I think this was somewhere in the second quarter. There was a play where O'Connor comes in the game, but a USF lineman lost his helmet during play, tackled the quarterback after he lost it. I think he tackled O'Connor as a hurry. It wasn't a sack. It was a hurry.
Right.
But he got an unsportsmanlike conduct because he continued to play without his helmet on.
Isn't that the stupidest rule you ever heard of in your life?
When
I was in the press box and I saw, I'm sitting there looking at it happen. And the flag comes out of nowhere. And I'm like, where's the flag? I saw no flag on that play. What is going on here? You know, I turn to Jack Ebling, like, what? I look down the line, like, what's going on? What was that? And then it comes across a PA that it was a penalty on USF, right? And the penalty was unsportsmanlike conduct, as you just said, for continuing play after your helmet is off. I don't get that. So after your helmet's off, you just got to stop playing? You're not a football player anymore? You just got to stop? What is that? I don't get that.
And that's the funny thing because look at hockey. You see hockey players lose their helmets all the time.
Yeah, I don't get it.
They still fight?
I don't get it at all. It was really bizarre. It was a bizarre rule, to say the least.
And listeners, it wasn't O'Connor that lost his helmet. It was the defensive lineman going for O'Connor.
Right.
So it's not like a defensive lineman hit O'Connor without protection. It's not like O'Connor was defenseless.
Right.
The guy hitting him was defenseless.
And they called it unsportsmanlike conduct.
Good for him. Good for that guy.
Exactly. Exactly. Again, 517-355-9527. Pick up that phone. Give us your opinion on the MSU football team. What do you feel as though it was the problem with this offense? It's many question marks, to say the least. So right now, Alex, let's dive more specifically into this team. So many question marks, Alex. I got to ask you, who do you think is going to end up being a quarterback for this team?
Man.
I don't know. That's the million-dollar question. I don't know.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm saying that it's a freshman because we saw the first time O'Connor came into the game, and he moved the ball. He was the only quarterback to get in the red zone in the first half. So my question is, sure, he almost threw a pick in the end zone. There's the if. But he didn't actually throw it. He scored 3 points for us. And the reason, besides that second down red zone almost interception, on third down they did a short little blooper and a run play.
Right.
So that's not really O'Connor's call.
It's not. And like you said, when you look at, you know, Connor Cook, who got the start on Saturday, Connor, he's mobile. He'll get out the pocket, scramble a little bit. But the thing is, he just can't throw the ball.
He didn't move. He reminds me of a mini Maxwell, but more mobile.
Yeah, exactly. He's more mobile. But yeah, because Maxwell is not accurate. And Connor Cook's not accurate, but, you know, Connor Cook will take the ball. You saw numerous times where, you know, the ball was hiked right to him. He'll take it and try to run the thing, you know. He's definitely more mobile.
Not just that, but third down plays, both of them, they telegraph all their plays. Like, I remember seeing
I totally agree
a little
you.
Flat in the blooper. It's
He's
third and
five. He's staring at the guy before it even hiked the ball. I'm like, come on,
well,
man.
Well, it's like a third and seven, a third and five. They throw a flat in the blooper at third down. They don't throw towards the third down marker. They throw it at the flat or screen pass.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
And it's not like that's the play call. They have guys going down the field, but they just throw the shortest pass, the safest quote-unquote pass.
Right. Now, like I said, if I have to evaluate this thing, looking at the three quarterbacks who were in that day, Tyler O'Connor would be the guy right now. And even Tyler O'Connor, he didn't play. No quarterback an entire Saturday out of those three played spectacular and turned heads and said, hey, okay, that's my guy. So when you look at it, I really think just throw in Terry. Burn that red shirt. Give this freshman a shot. I remember during the 7:45 mark of the very first game to start the season 2 weeks ago, the crowd chanting, we want Terry. We want Terry. That's what you heard Phil Spartan Stadium during that 7:45 mark. Fans are frustrated, and you heard a plethora of boos, you know, throughout that game on Saturday, especially during halftime. That was when it was more alarming. You could hear boos just fill the entire stadium. The entire campus was filled with boos at halftime in that game, and fans are frustrated, and rightfully so. I don't blame a fan out there who's just really frustrated and quite upset about it.
And here's another good note to close on is when you look at the quarterbacks, Dave Warner said it in the press conference. Someone asked him, do you think quarterbacks, you know, are worried about making a mistake because they only do have a short time to, quote-unquote, audition? They only have a couple snaps, if not a quarter, like O'Connor and maybe Terry next week. Don't you think they're worried about throwing the ball downfield and making a big mistake?
Yeah.
And Warner agreed. I mean, that's definitely a possibility because when you're playing three quarterbacks,
they're worried about their.
You're trying to make that first impression.
They're walking on eggshells right now. These quarterbacks are walking on eggshells. They don't want to do anything that's going to put them out of this race because they all want to be the starting quarterback. And conservative play may be a result of that. Maybe a product of that.
Right.
So,
and now they have Youngstown, number 24 in the FCS, who threw for 600 yards.
600 yards, unbelievable, right? Well, man, we'll get to them as the week goes on. But yeah, I'll tell you what though. We talked about the offense. We've drained that lemon right now. The defense for MSU has been superb. They have accounted for four touchdowns so far this season. Three of those from Shalee Calhoun, who right now is getting national attention. I tell you that. I mean, well, MSU's defense always gets national attention every single season. But right now, nationally, Shalee Calhoun is ranked when it comes to sacks and interceptions. He has 8 sacks, which is 4th in the nation, and he has 4 interceptions tied for ninth in the nation. This is defensive end Shalit Calhoun, who he's a sophomore, a really good kid, and he is something else. He turned on the Jets too on that one interception on Saturday, Alex. If anything turned my head, it was that during that game. So that defense, Pat Narduzzi,
great play call.
He's unbelievable. I think Pat Narduzzi is going to end up being a head coach in college football really, really soon. And I said this earlier this morning. I really believe this. Narduzzi is so good, and he's so consistent. He has proved it throughout, you know, these past few seasons. MSU hasn't been to a Rose Bowl since 1988. It's a long, long time. And with this schedule right now, which works in MSU's favor, and that's another thing to this too, even though MSU's offense is playing horrid, they are playing horrid right now, and the defense is carrying this team. Even though that is so, MSU's schedule is so light this season that they're getting by. They're getting by with these W's right now, and it can work in their favor, and they have a legitimate shot still at the Rose Bowl.
All I can say is thank goodness Notre Dame is not until the fourth week.
Yeah, I know. Michigan.
If there's one thing on defense that I'd like to say that's a little disappointing, it's the play of Isaiah Lewis. I mean, he did have two pretty big penalties, two pass interferences, put them inside the 8-yard line for a score for South Florida.
Well, they can't be perfect.
Of course. And I'm not saying that they should be perfect or that Isaiah
Lewis.
They've
been darn near perfect.
Yeah,
though.
But I'm saying the one player, especially as a veteran, that I think could be a little better is just the penalties. I mean, we still see him game in and game out. If you're trying to get nitpicky.
Yeah, but like I said, if you're being real, if you're really looking at this thing with a fine-tooth comb and trying to pick out little things here and there, I mean, there you go. But, I mean, MSU has held each of his first two opponents so far to less than 100 rushing yards. I mean, their blitzes are unbelievable. I mean, you don't see them coming. They're so quick. Their pass rush, I mean, they had Everard this past on Saturday running for his life the entire game.
Yeah, you have
the entire game.
You have Calhoun off the left side. You have Kittredge and
it's unbelievable.
Mikaja in the middle, and then you have the linebackers blitzing. You have Bullock running up the middle. It's crazy.
He had 2 seconds on each play to make up his mind to see where he was going with the ball. After those 2 seconds, they were swarming on him for sacks. He had to run out the pocket a few times, throw the ball away. He was running like a chicken, like with a chicken hit, with his head cut off. I mean, it was unbelievable. And you know, you got to give Narduzzi. And this goes back to that to my point. I think if MSU does not make the Rose Bowl this season, Narduzzi might be gone. Narduzzi might be taking another job elsewhere. He might be, trying his luck as a head coach somewhere. I don't know, but he's carrying this team right now.
Al, you don't think Narduzzi would look for another job if they did make the Rose Bowl?
If they did make the Rose Bowl, different story. He may stay. If they don't this year, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw in the headlines, "Hey, I'm gone." You know, I'm going to take a defensive coordinating job somewhere else.
Now, I think either way, Narduzzi is going to –
You think either way he's gone?
Not he's gone, but even if they win or they lose, Narduzzi will still be looking for something else.
Next season?
Yeah.
We'll see, man.
Looking.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Not taking, but looking.
I wouldn't be surprised, man. From the tailback position, I thought Jeremy Langford was pretty solid.
Yes.
I really like Jeremy Langford a lot.
Yes.
Jeremy Langford is a bang, bang, bang back. And he took some shots, but he got right back up, and he's got a little speed on him as well. I was really impressed with the tailback position. Riley Bulla, he shows sparks, if he just needs a little room. Once he finds those holes, he attacks his holes very well. He's got a lot of speed in that area. And I thought that Nick Hill had a few spurts as well. I think as far as the tailback position is concerned, MSU is not good. I mean, they're not great. They're good. They're good right now, from what I've seen so far. They look solid. So, but yeah, we'll see as this thing goes on, man. Defense is great. Tailbacks look okay. If there's anything on the offense, you know, as far as drop passes go, that's something we brought up show after show as well. I mean, only counted one drop pass from Aaron Burbridge in the first quarter.
And I'll tell you the dark horse: when Notre Dame rolls around, look for Monty Medeiros coming back from his injury to get some playing time and make an impact. I mean, the guy was highly touted out of high school, a lot of offers on the table, redshirted his first year, very similar to O'Connor, but he's definitely a playmaker that hasn't seen action yet, and I think if we see more drop balls, Monty will get in there, and I think he's going to make an impact.
We will see, man. As far as the receivers go, I think D'Antonio might have made the right move in putting in McGarrett Kings. to tell you the truth, and sitting down Benny Fowler. McGarrett King's looked decent.
He did. He did.
He looked decent on Saturday. So, all right. Well, again, 517-355. We only have about 5 minutes left. You want to get in some final thoughts here? 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls on anything that's on your mind. Really quick, Alec, what were your impressions of the Lions and Vikings game? I thought the Lions, you know, there were some iffy moments throughout that game. But Reggie Bush, wow, what a pickup. If he stays healthy, knock on wood, because Reggie Bush, he's been injury prone since he's been in the NFL. But Reggie Bush, 90 yards rushing. 4 catches for 101 yards, including one big, just that last one he had was just unbelievable after the catch. Reggie Bush looked great. Matthew Stafford looked decent. They're keying in on Calvin Johnson, though, and I said it. Defenses are keying in on Calvin Johnson, and other receivers have to step up. And I think Nate Burleson yesterday, he led the team in receiving yards. So, overall, I was pretty pleased with the Lions.
Yeah, overall, a lot of poise from the offense, and Ndamukong Suh. Sometimes, man, you just got to start thinking.
Yeah, that hit from Ndamukong Suh. Not looking at it, I was talking to Aaron before the show, and Aaron had some comments and said, he just got it because, you know, he's being harped on and getting penalized because he's just Ndamukong Suh, but that was a dirty play. Let's call it like it is.
And it's not the first time.
Like, why do it?
He's been questioned.
That wasn't even close to the play. I mean, why even do that? Yeah, I mean, it's not his first time. It's not his first rodeo, as I said at the, you know, earlier in the show. So, okay, we're going to do a quick pick of Monday, Alex. You're going to be singing very soon because you lost last month.
Yeah.
I won last month.
What's it going to be?
You're going to have to wait and see, brother. Okay. You have to wait and see. So pick of Monday is really quick, man.
Quick pick. Sorry, MSU versus Youngstown. 5 points for the correct score. What do you think? Who's going to win?
Give me MSU 24 to 14.
All right, I'm going to say MSU 28-10.
Okay.
Okay. UM versus Akron.
Give me University of Michigan.
Score.
I'm going to take U of M. Ah, man. 27-14.
Okay, I'm going to say U of M 35-17.
How about Devin Gardner, too? He looked great.
He did.
Against Notre Dame.
All right, UCLA in Nebraska, number 16 UCLA, taking on the Cornhuskers in Lincoln. Who do you got?
I think that'd be a good one, man.
No score here, just who you got.
Give me UCLA.
UCLA. All right, I'm going to take Nebraska in this one.
Okay.
Ohio State and Cal.
Give me Ohio State.
Ohio State, I will take them, too. Wisconsin at Arizona State. That's going to be a good match.
Wisconsin, they looked polished, man. But again, they're playing, you know, this is the lollipop. I always say this is the lollipop part of the schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it
here,
is,
but
it
still.
Is.
Hey, look, I'm going to take Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, give me
okay.
Wisconsin.
I'll make it interesting and take ASU. Lions, Cardinals, 5 points for correct score.
Lions and Cardinals. Give me the Lions. I'm going with the Lions. Oh, boy. 27. Yep, 27 is like, I like number 27. 27 to 17.
Okay, I'm going to say 42-28.
Okay.
Detroit. Jets and Patriots. 5 points for correct score here, too.
I'm going with give me the Pats, man. Can't go wrong with Tom Brady. And I'm going to take the Patriots to win.
Thursday night football, everybody.
Yeah, Thursday night football, man. 24-21.
Ooh, close game.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll also take the Pats, but I'm going to say 20-17.
Okay.
Let's do Tigers White Sox. We got two more picks left. Tigers White Sox 3-game series.
Give me the Tigers 2-1.
Tigers 2-1. I will say the White Sox 2-1.
Gotcha.
Tigers.
I was really shocked that they, you know,
oh,
lost
yeah, yeah.
that weekend series to the Royals as well.
Tigers.
And
Royals.
Tigers Royals.
They're at home. They're actually away at Kansas City for another series.
For how many games is that?
3 games.
3-game series. Huh. Tigers put us out 2-1.
I'm going to say the same. So there you go. Pick 'em Mondays.
Pick 'em Mondays. You'll be singing very soon, brother. So get those vocal cords ready.
I don't know. I may have a little salt in my lungs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We went out golfing yesterday, and Alex, man, I think on every hole. Aaron,
nope,
Alex, and
nope,
I went out.
You're over-exaggering.
Aaron, Alex,
no.
and I went out to Hall Kylo.
No,
we played
no,
18.
No.
Alex, he had about 12 to 15 balls in the water. I kid you not. It was hilarious. I think on one hole, I think it was the 17th. It was so funny because
it was,
you actually
it,
you
it was the 15th hole.
It was a 15. No, it was a 17th hole because you said you look. I remember you hit it and you said. And I looked up. I said, "Where'd it go?" And you said, "Oh, that's the water." Then 2 seconds after that, you heard. Whoosh, whoosh. It was so funny. So funny. Aaron, I didn't realize how good Aaron was. Aaron beat us all. Wasn't even close.
We'll talk more about this tomorrow.
Yeah, funny stuff. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Shark and Matt Lutke. Engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wolf, our station manager here at WKAR. Same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks to all of the callers who called in today. Really appreciate it. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. Stay dry. It's raining out there. Be easy, people.